Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Real Estate Hour with Noel and Chuck.
Subprime, home, equity, HELOC. You ever heard it called a HELOC?
Sure.
I thought that sounds fancy.
Home equity like line of credit?
Yeah, so it sounds like a character on like Masters of the Universe or something, you know?
We were talking, and I mean, unless you don't want me to say this, Noel is going to try and get into the housing market in the next year or so.
I'm going to become a flipper.
So you're going to quit your job to flip houses?
Just so. Yeah. Then I'm going to get a reality show made about me flipping houses.
Called Suck This Flip.
No, Suck the Flip. I love that. Suck This Flip.
I'm
going to be an edgy flipper too, Chuck. I'm going to have attitude and edge. And I'm going to spit sometimes. I don't know. I'm working on it. I'm just thinking about buying a house. Let me be real with you for a second, Chuck. I owned a house before. I owned a house in Athens, Georgia. And at the time, it really stressed me out that we found things about it after the fact that were not revealed in the inspection,
mm-hmm.
and which I think happens. I think that's pretty common.
Sure.
But it really stressed me out, and I'm not really a handyman type dude, but I learned, and I learned how to like roof and fix the shingles and all that.
Whoa.
And find leaks, but it was a lot, and I actually found, once we sold it, a weight lifted off me. So it's part of me in my brain. It's like, I know it's a smart thing to do,
yeah,
to own a house, to own real estate, but I also like, it really added to my anxiety level in a lot of ways. So if I get one, I want to make sure it's not one
sure.
that's secretly fucked up.
Hey, listen, Noel, there's no right way to do it. I mean, anyone that says you're just throwing your money away by renting, it, you know, in a way that is true, but like that may fit someone's lifestyle better and it may fit their stress level better. And some people might like to move around and live in different places and rent, and there's nothing wrong with any of it. So
right.
You do what your heart says.
It's something that's in my mind, but I also like, I'm in this relationship now that I think is going quite well, and who knows by next year where things will be. So I definitely, the idea of moving and buying a house all by myself seems a little weird, but we'll see what happens. But
you going to play house with a girl?
I'm jinxing everything by talking about on the podcast.
You sound weird right now, by the way. You sound like shit to me. It sounds like
sound weird.
It sounds like an old fax line connection or something.
I know why, Chuck. Hang on.
It sounds like you're underwater. It sounds like you're in outer space.
It's not recording like that, I promise.
It sounds like you're working in a manhole.
Speaking of
manholes.
I'm going to fix this for you, Chuck. It's just for you because it's recording pristinely as usual.
Well, no. No one will hear that but me.
No. I know, but I want your comfort level to be up, Chuck.
I just want you out of the manhole.
Out of the manhole.
There's and into no my manhole.
Whoa. Is that what you call your basement?
I don't know.
I'll move into
a house with you, Noel.
Your bumper pool table. What do you mean I sound like shit? I don't have anything shitty happening.
It sounds like a weird like bad Skype call or something. It's all right. I can get over it. I'm already sorry, man.
I looked at some settings that I thought might...
whatever you just did, don't do that.
What did I do? I didn't do anything.
It just sounded like you were in a tin can.
I have no... We should probably reconnect the Skype, Chuck. I don't know what's going on.
All right. Well, let's pause our recordings.
All right. Let's pause it.
Let's leave all this in, though.
Yeah, no, this is all good stuff.
All right. I'm pausing. I'll be right back.
Pausing.
All right. We're back, everybody.
I'm now recording properly.
Okay. Chuck, do we need to resync?
We got
to
resync.
Let's let everyone hear how we do this. It's very advanced.
We're pros. Yeah, it's very pro. All right. 3, 2, 1. Yeah.
All right.
Very precise. Sorry, Chuck. I had my tin can effect on. I didn't realize.
Okay. Well, we're all good and all. So, I just got back from spring break on Sunday. We rented a river cabin for a few days. And went to the lake for a few days. It was all about water sports, Noel. I tell you, that lake is cold as shit right now.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Ruby wanted to get in it, so I got in it. And it was bone chilling. And, you know, when you get into water, it's so cold, your breath leaves you.
Uh-huh.
And all you can do is go, that's kind of how it was. But then you get used to it.
You acclimate eventually. Yeah. I mean, the body's is a fabulous machine. I saw you were doing some masking. You had some like Mardi Gras accoutrement going on.
That's just, you know how it is when you have a daughter. You got to play dress up.
I guess so, but that was a pretty cool mask is all I'm saying. Where'd you get that?
Sons like to play dress up too. All kids of all stripes like to play dress up.
Dress up is fun. I love dress up.
It was, I guess it looks like a Mardi Gras mask. It's just, you know, Ruby has a big box full of trashy clothes and costumes and tiaras and masks. And so when she pulls that out, a good time is about to happen.
I love it. It looked like a good time. Your lovely wife said a very funny thing about you. She said, this guy's probably looked at me wrong about 100 times during COVID or whatever, but I wouldn't want to be COVIDed with anybody else. And I thought that was
it was very sweet. Yeah. You know, you can look at somebody wrong when you're in a relationship for 20 years.
Totally. Yeah. with the side eye or whatever it is.
Sure. I got a lot of looks. That I can dish out that I don't even know I'm dishing out.
You don't even know you're dishing them out.
But it's good to be back. We just noticed that, Noel, the Movie Crushers subpage is now 4,000 strong.
Very cool.
And that is like, that's 4,000 great people there on the internet. That's a lot of good people.
I got to say, I've been getting the most lovely DMs on Instagram, and I'm ill-prepared to give shout-outs, but I will as more come in, people suggesting Seattle things to do.
Very nice.
With my kid, which was very, very sweet and thoughtful. And I'm really looking forward to it. I'm definitely going to take some of those under advisement. You got any good picks? Any good recs, Chuck?
Well, I can send you some for sure if I give it some thought, but I do. Do you like biscuits?
Oh, who doesn't like a good biscuit?
There's a place downtown called Biscuit Bitch.
Mm.
And the joke, I always go there when I do live shows at the Moore Theater, the lovely Moore. And my joke on stage that I say every time is that I went to Biscuit Bitch and I'm saying, sorry, I try not to use the B word in public. And Josh says, biscuit? I've done that joke twice now.
That's good.
Oh, it's fine.
Third time's a charm. I love it. Wait. So this is, here we go. Yeah, Biscuit Bitch.
It's good.
It looks like they've got some crazy scrambles and stuff too. And oh my goodness,
get some of those Chukar's cherries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is this like in the downtown Seattle? Would be that place like with the market thing and all that?
Yeah, fish markets downtown and the.
That's all that. Yep. I've never been.
Classic music venues. Jeez, I'm blanking now. What's the one that I've been to a few times? The Seattle music venue. It's their 40 watt Noel.
Yeah, I don't know. Nuemos?
No.
The Showbox?
Shoebox.
Showbox is famous.
Is good, but it's not the one.
High Dive?
No.
The Moore? The Moore is the place you were just talking about.
No, it's not the Moore. Jeez. People are, Seattleites are screaming at us right now.
I know they are. Like I said, I really know nothing about Seattle other than like, you know, grunge and all that. Fremont Abbey, Blue Moon Tavern,
Triple Door. No, but that's a good one too.
Yeah, the Crocodile.
Yes, that's it.
Oh, okay. So what is Belltown? Belltown is like,
it's a neighborhood.
It's just a neighborhood. Okay. Yeah, the Crocodile says legendary grunge history, having featured Mudhoney, Pearl Jam, and Nirvana in the 90s.
Totally.
Oh, it's closed though. It closed in 2007.
Well, no, I mean, there's a Crocodile there.
Oh, reappearing under new management in 2009.
Yeah, because I went there. I saw Jay Farrar there, and he is great. And he even played Uncle Tupelo, which is what I was there for.
Nice. I got a question for you, Chuck. With live music coming back, how do you think that's going to go? Do you think it's going to like become some kind of crazy premium where they're going to be selling fewer tickets? It's going to be harder to get. Like, you know, it was hard to get Radiohead tickets under normal circumstances. Can you imagine under like limited capacity? I mean, the bots and the scalpers are going to be having a heyday.
Well, I mean, I think it'll be a run up to full capacity. So you may be right. Like, we're already seeing that a little bit. One of my buddies, Kyle Kinane, comedian who's been on the show before, actually, he is doing some live comedy in Portland, and they were at 100 people capacity, and then the venue changed their mind and said, we got to go down to 50. So they had to move people to another night and just do more shows with smaller number of people. And I think that's going to be the way for a little while. We'll see, you know. I don't know if they're going to be filling arenas anytime soon.
Right. I guess I'm just saying, like, it was already tough to get hot ticket, you know, tickets. That's redundant.
Yeah,
but like,
sure.
I wonder if it's going to be like a real nightmare, you know.
I will say this. The Roger Waters show that I had tickets for last summer has just been rescheduled for August 2022.
Oh, my goodness.
So they're pushing it a whole other year for a big arena show, which is probably smart. Mm-hmm. But when you're Roger Waters' age, you got to think about that, you know?
You definitely do. You definitely do. I am officially fully vaxxed now, Chuck.
Sweet.
I got my second shot on Friday. I don't know how it hit you, but I got sick as shit.
Yeah.
It was bad news.
Which one did you get?
I got the Pfizer.
Okay. I was Moderna, but I was the second one for about 12 hours later. And then for the next 24 hours, I felt like hell. Mm-hmm. Not, it was almost like having the flu without the fever. Emily had it worse than me, actually. I think she even had a fever.
I had a fever. I had chills. I ached everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, shivers, sweating all night.
That means it's working, Noel.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel great now, but it sucked that night.
Yeah, it did not last long for me. It lasted, like I said, about a day, and I was good. Mm-hmm. And now we're good, Noel. We're invincible.
We're good.
Do whatever we want.
Well, I definitely feel comfortable taking this flight. You know what I mean? And like,
sure.
Ironically, I had a trip booked to Seattle before the shit hit the fan and it got canceled.
Yeah.
So this is sort of like a fitting return to, you know, somewhat normal travel. I'm excited.
Yeah. And we're still living the same way we were. We're masking everywhere. We haven't eaten in a restaurant yet. And we're we're doing all that stuff still. You know, that's just the way it is.
I'm with it.
But with more peace of mind.
With more peace of mind, and also, like, you know, outdoor gatherings and stuff with the summer weather coming, we'll feel a little bit more comfortable.
You want to be outside anyway.
Dice roll, you know, 100%.
So one other quick shout out, and this is a sad one, but I don't know if you saw the Arclight and Cinerama Dome in Hollywood, California are closing their doors permanently. Mm-hmm. And that is very sad because those are two legendary theaters. And we're, you know, everyone is hoping that someone will swoop in. You know, I think Edgar Wright tweeted and tagged Tarantino, and maybe there's rumors of they're getting a coalition of like directors and actors together to maybe chip in and buy these things. It would be great because the worst thing that could happen, Noel, is some developer takes and like tears that shit down.
Right.
For condos.
Yeah. I was communicating about it with a friend in LA who's actually worked on some of the shows, some of our podcasts. And he said he was pretty sure someone was going to buy it. Whether even if it was a chain, but it's such a historic location with that dome and all that.
Yeah, man.
They wouldn't do anything like that, I don't think.
I hope not. I mean, I saw Spider-Man 2 on the opening night there. I saw, and then, you know, the great thing is you have those reserved seats, so you can cruise in there 2 minutes before the movie starts on a big Friday opening night. And you got your seat waiting on you, unless some dickhead is taking it over, and then you got to get involved with an altercation.
Oh, God, Chuck. I'm not going to go into this, but speaking of, I got into an altercation yesterday.
Whoa, let's hear it.
Because
yeah. You're not confrontational.
I'm not really confrontational. I was in line. It was a social distancing-based altercation. You know how in lines and stuff they have, or like in grocery stores now or anywhere, they have like dots?
Sure.
You know, on the ground where it's like, this is your dot.
Stand here, dummy.
I was on my dot. With my kid at Moe's, which is like a, you know, like a chain kind of Chipotle type Mexican place. And there's this woman in front of me who was not standing on her dot. There was plenty of room between her and her dot, and she was closer to me. And she looks at me and is super rudely insists that I move back. The person behind me is standing on their dot. I'm on my dot. She's not on her dot.
Get on your dot, lady.
So I said, hey, I'm on my dot, lady. And she... you know, was just really rude because you can't count 6 feet. And I basically told her to go fuck herself in no uncertain terms.
What does basically mean? What were the words
you
used?
I told her to go fuck herself.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. I did. And then she.
Oh, boy.
Okay. And then she moved on to her dot as though it were her idea.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of golf clapped and said, good job.
Oh, boy. Smartass and aggressive. Nice combo.
I escalated it. I was just mad, man. She made me feel like a leper or something.
I know.
I was doing
Get
the
on
right
your dot,
thing.
Lady.
I was doing the right thing, and I'm sorry. I just had to just share. It was really it really triggered me.
Sure,
I felt it. I felt like kind of shaky for a little while.
Yeah, man. Well, listen, dude, we're all hanging in there, and if someone's gonna get off their dot and get in your face, then I'm not saying you handled it great, but, you know, people are, let yourself up.
I didn't actually say go fuck yourself, for the record. I just
what
said,
did you really say?
I just said something to the effect of, like, you need to calm down, or like, why are you being so aggressive, or like, you're being very rude. And then she smarted back at me and said, you don't know how to count 6 feet. And I go, you know what? Fuck something. I said something.
Noah's
and
holding up a sign right now that says, Chuck, I really told her to go fuck herself.
No. And she did say, she did flip me off eventually as well. It was a whole thing. And my daughter was there and she was like, that lady was horrible.
Okay, good.
So, I mean, I wasn't not in the wrong. I definitely probably lost my temper, but
what are you gonna do, man?
I felt attacked.
Let yourself up, Noel. You're a good guy. All right, let's move on to brighter things, which is the Crushers page. Mr. John Stockton, who always brings the good thread, says this, Noel. Who is a supporting or minor character that deserves their own movie? Why have I never asked this?
That's so funny that you asked that. You know the character, the Jesus in The Big Lebowski?
Mm-hmm, sure.
He got his own movie. I don't know if you knew that, but it's really not good. It's John Turturro, who I think we both love, playing that character with Audrey Tautou from Amelie. And a bunch of other kind of little, like, what's her name? Susan Sarandon's in it for a bit. It's an odd road movie, and it doesn't seem like it needs to exist. So that's an example of that, I would say, not working. I mean, there are parts of it that I enjoyed, but that's a character that I think needed to just be, like, a weird little side character.
Wasn't he a pedophile?
You know, they talk about that. Apparently, the joke in the movie is that he was a pederast, which I don't understand the difference, and that he exposed himself to a fifth grader. And they show that scene in the movie, and it really just involves them urinating in urinals next to each other and him being perceived as a little
kid. They
what's it look like when you get older? And he goes, it looks like this, you know? And then, but he was trying to do the kid a favor. He was like, you know, by like, giving him some knowledge as opposed to...
Gotcha. I wondered how they got around that. Mm-hmm. So they try to make it seem like the most innocent penis showing of all time.
Innocent penis showing of all time. And then the character, he's not a good guy. He's always doing really shady shit. But you're supposed to like identify with him, but then you never really do. It's just a weird one. But I'm trying to think of a good example. Can you think of a good example, Chuck?
Well, the Crushers have thought of plenty. So let's just dive in. Skylar Ward says, I really want the rom-com of the parents in Easy A. There are some shenanigans in their past. I just know it. Yeah, the parents in Easy A, I can't remember who played them, but they were beloved by many, many people. Good movie.
Easy A. I'm confusing Easy A with Booksmart. Those are not the same movie.
No, Easy A had, red hair, big eyes.
Oh, I know. I'm picturing her. I'm picturing her, Chuck, and the Crushers are screaming at their Victrolas right now.
Very big superstar actor.
Emma Stone.
That's it. And who were the parents, Noel? Why don't you work on that? I want to say it was Elizabeth
Noel. Eugene Levy? He always plays the best dad. Let's see. It looks like maybe... Amanda Bynes.
Patricia Clarkson. I know she... Tucci, I think.
I love Patricia Clarkson. She's in the Tooch. So Stan?
Stan Tooch.
Stanny Tooch?
People are so mad at us. Say, why can't we think of anything?
I love them, too. They're I want them to be my parents. I haven't even seen this movie, and I already am in love with this, this combo.
Cody Reed says, the Gimp from Pulp Fiction. Why is he in that box? Against his will, he wants to be there. How often is he let out? What led him to this point?
That to me is the same deal as the Jesus. It's sort of like, I don't want it to be demystified. I like it mystified. Mystify me.
No, we don't want the Gimp movie.
I don't want a Gimp movie. That's a different... Those movies exist already, man. And they're not a Pulp Fiction spinoffs.
Jim Winepress says Muldoon from Jurassic Park. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Down with that.
Small role, but yeah, very impactful.
He's like an Indiana Jones-esque figure. I could see him going on all sorts of adventures before he gets clever girled.
Absolutely. Joel Kron says Rose in The Last Jedi. Sure, I'd see that.
Which one was she?
Rose. Oh, wait a minute. Am I thinking of the right person? Now I'm looking.
Well,
oh, yeah. Rose was Kelly Marie Tran.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Wasn't she in Rogue One? She wasn't in Rogue One? No, she wasn't.
I don't think so. Just Last Jedi, yeah. And a cool role. I like that movie.
She was cool. She was like Finn's buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like a lot of her probably ended up on the cutting room floor.
Maybe so. I think there might have been some controversy around that even.
I think that's probably, but I think I may remember hearing that.
Let me see here. Sometimes when people just put the meme, I don't know who it is. So everyone that puts memes, know that I'm a dummy and that
give it to me,
sometimes
Chuck,
you got
to
put the character for me.
I'm the meme king.
Well, I don't know if you want to navigate to that thread.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's on the Crushers.
Because I know this movie now that I'm looking at it. Yeah, it's Movie Crushers. Just search Stockton.
All right, here we go.
This is our most unprofessional show we've ever done, by the way.
That's not true. This is what is professional in podcasting?
Yeah, that's a good
Stockton,
point.
Stockton. Wait, no, now I'm creating a post. Okay, it's really crossed the line into an absolute shit show.
This show should just be called Two Old Men Try and Work the Interwebs.
Okay, Stockton. No, well.
How's it so hard for you to find these posts?
Chuck, I see his name. His name's John Stockton.
Yes.
From Jacksonville, Florida.
And you don't see a post from him? I'm not asking you to keep simple scores.
There's a lot of posts from him. He's an active poster. Chuck.
Well, I know, but it's the most recent one. Never mind.
April. Well, they're not. They're in reverse order for some reason. The first one's in April 10th. Second one's April 12th. Here we go.
Okay,
I see it.
Click on that thing.
Okay.
And then scroll down to Ryan Townsend.
All right, Townsend, the Towns.
And it's what's his name? It's that actor from that thing.
Oh, Ryan. Yeah, I don't know what this. I don't know.
Oh God.
That's not a meme, by the way. That's just a GIF.
Well, I don't see. That's how little I know, Noel. I don't know the difference.
A meme's got to have text on it.
Jesus Christ.
I recognize. Oh, no, wait. Is this the guy from Ant-Man, maybe?
Yeah, but oh, that's it.
No. Who liked Morrissey a lot? Is that him?
Yeah, he's one of my favorite actors, and his name is Michael Pena.
Yes.
He played Lewis.
I could see Luis. Him doing that'd be a fun spinoff. We got there, guys. We got there.
What a train wreck.
Here's one with the Rock Man that played voiced by Taika Waititi.
Oh, sure.
I'm down for that all day long.
Yeah, I think everyone wants to see that movie.
Yeah, he's the delight. Which, by the way, that was one of my favorite Marvel movies, next to like Guardians of the Galaxy, because it was so light and fun, and you know, obviously had drama and action and stuff. But like Jeff Goldblum's a delight. The Rock Man's a delight. You know, Thor is so funny, and you never would have thought that character would have worked. But
it took a while.
Ass.
You know, Thor grew into that role. That first Thor movie was not great.
No, it wasn't great.
The Danger Oven, Gale After My Own Heart. She says Quint from Jaws. A Quint movie would have been really, really good.
That would be spectacular. Doll's Eyes guys? He's the like the old grizzled sailor, right?
Yeah, and he was the one that was at the in the water with the sharks after the sinking of the. Indianapolis.
That's right.
So you could go way back and do a really young Quint. You could even do that now. Cast a young version of Robert Shaw. That'd be pretty interesting.
That'd be really cool. That's that whole monologue where it's like he's talking about rolls back white like a doll's eyes or whatever. That's I think he's describing that.
Scenario. The Danger Oven is the second one too. And she said her husband, who is also a pal of mine, says this, Todd Parker from Boogie Nights. He's basically the protagonist for a short time. He's in the movie. Wow. I love Todd Parker's character. I would see that movie, actually.
Oh, yeah. He was kind of his sidekick, I guess you could say, right?
Yeah, and since I can't think of anyone's name,
Tom Jane.
Yeah, Thomas Jane.
Thomas Jane. I had to look it up. I wouldn't. I honestly don't even think of him as being that guy because he looks so different. He's got the sideburns and the big mustache.
Yeah, he can change his look pretty well.
Yeah, very, very well done.
Dawn Morris, this is a good one. She says Shuri from Black Panther.
Yes, that's the science-y one, right?
Yeah, she's fantastic. I would love to. She could absolutely hold down a movie.
That makes a lot of sense. I'm wondering if that's even something that I've seen planned already somewhere.
Well, someone said, Zach Pointer and Martin Kidd are saying that in the comics, she becomes the next Black Panther. So that would be super badass.
That would be totally kick-ass. And very fitting, too. Like, I mean, you know, it's like such a tragic situation with Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
Do you really want to recast that character, or do you just want to, like, up the ante and have it be a badass woman, you know?
You up that ante, man. And genius. That's what they do in comics. You know, people, they change those characters all the time. So you can do that.
Yep, I agree. I'm with it.
Rob Prendergast. Welcome, Rob. I don't think we met. It says, Big Earn McCracken from the bowling movie, from the Farrelly brothers. Why can't I think of anything today?
Is that, I think it might be our early onset dementia, Chuck. I'm kidding. There's no way. What is it? The Kingpin?
Yes.
Kingpin? Yes.
Bill Murray in Kingpin, Big Earn McCracken. I think everyone would want to see that movie, too.
That'd be, there was a lot of good, fun side characters. Not, and again, Big Lebowski, lots of opportunities for side characters. Just the Jesus was such a nothing character, and yet he got a whole movie. And that seems like a wasted opportunity to me. I would watch a Walter movie, you know? I'd even probably watch a Donnie movie.
I don't think
movie.
I'd be into a Walter movie.
You wouldn't be into a Walter movie?
Walter, I mean, I love the movie, but Walter was asshole. A bit abrasive for me for a fair. Film.
That's fair.
And who did you say you'd even take who?
A Donnie movie.
Well, Donnie's dead.
Well, that's true, but it could be, you know, leading up to that.
All right, let's do a couple of more here.
Let's do it.
Kelly Kearns Brockington, one of our old pals, says, Ian Malcolm, the early years, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't cast anyone other than Goldblum. You'd have to de-age him, and then you're in that territory.
Exactly. I don't want to go there.
All right, and let's finish up here with the Mudge, Jennifer Mudge. One of our oldest friends says, I would love a good Alfred from Batman movie. Not CGI heavy, DC typical, but a Dark Knight Logan-ish film based on the Michael Caine version.
Okay. But my question is, like, what is it in his background that's interesting? He was a butler, and he really only became interesting because he was Batman's butler.
I know. Well, I mean, so says you. There could be some super interesting thing where he could have been, maybe that's why he's sympathetic to Batman, is that he could have been some crime fighter superhero in the 1940s. And then lived his life as a butler assisting a crime-fighting superhero. That's what I say.
That's a good point. I would give it a shot.
All right, Noel, we're going to move on. We've wasted too much time. We'll go through this one quickly. This is from Patrick Gorman, one of our old friends. Says, Crusher Cocktail Hour, what is a good movie-inspired beverage recipe? I made a joke. I said the Jaws Julep. I said bourbon, simple syrup, mint, and 3 ounces of chum.
Oh, God.
Hey, look at me.
With one of those little gummy shark floaters. You could still make it.
Oh, sure.
You know, a good one. I would maybe replace chum with rum, perhaps, just because it rhymes. And then the little, you know, those little gummy sharks with the white tummies and the kind of neon.
Yeah, I know those.
Yeah.
Throw one of those in there.
Put one of those in there.
Well, here's a real one from Patrick Gorman for Jaws. Rum, lemonade, splash of grenadine, and blue, how do you pronounce that? Curacao?
Curacao. You got it. Yeah, totally.
That sounds good.
It does sound good.
Mm, add lemonade to any drink, Noel. That's what I say.
I completely agree. Lately, I've been, maybe we could give this a movie name. I've just been drinking, I've been trying to do a low-carb thing. So I've been drinking Blanco tequila, lemon juice, and grapefruit soda water. Not like sugary.
Yeah, that's a good drink.
I'm gonna call it the Magnolia. How about that?
Yeah, I got people who listen to the Adam Pranick episodes and the Ben Harrison ones. Those guys got me onto tequila and soda with just a big dose of lime.
That's it.
And it's almost like the skinniest margarita you can imagine.
Oh, it's so good. But you realize how much that sugar, A, is not even necessary, and B, is part of what contributes to you feeling like shit, is all the sugar.
Yeah, but I will say this. The sugar that cuts the tart, which is the reason for the sugar, but I like a good tart tequila and lime.
I do, too.
I'll take it.
I do, too.
What is yours?
Just lemon instead of lime. It works. Okay. Oh, what about also with grapefruit LaCroix, like the soda water that's like got a little hint of grapefruit to it.
All right, here we go with Austin Handler, the so handsome Austin Handler. He's an interior designer and decorator.
No way.
Yeah, very talented guy. Cool. He says this, yeah, if you're in the New York area and you have needs, get in touch with Austin Handler. I just had a delicious one a couple of nights ago at Hacienda del Sol in the Catalina foothills in Tucson. Oh, so Austin's on vacation. It was called The Pretty in Pink, Hendrix Gin. All right, so far so good. St. Germain Elderflower Liqueur, yum. Prickly pear syrup, never had it, but why not? Sweet and sour prickly pear foam served straight up. And he included a picture, and it looks delicious.
I'm sure it is. That sounds like a lovely combo.
I'll have a little sort of hipster cocktail every now and then.
Yeah.
Like that.
I look forward to, you know, like I've eaten in a restaurant like maybe twice. Very, 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 very distanced this whole time. Much more recently. But I look forward to, like, I haven't been like even bothering. Like, I don't want to go to a half weird situation restaurant thing. I want to go when it's like I can go and really enjoy it and be comfortable, order a nice cocktail, take my time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking forward to that because I really do like trying different, you know, cocktail recipes that, you know, fancy places do.
I hear you. I got to say, Noel, I'm not seeing the movie connection in a lot of these, but that's okay. These are sound like great drinks. Mike Bender or Binder, can't remember Mike, but he's one of our old pals, says the Vesper Martini. Obviously,
oh, yeah.
James Bond, 3 ounces of gin, 1 ounce vodka, gin and vodka, 1/2 ounce.
Lillet
Blanc.
Lillet, yeah.
Or dry vermouth, and then lemon peel garnish. That sounds good. I've never tried
I
that.
Would
gin
borderline
and
argue it can't be or vermouth. The Lillet is really what makes it a Vesper, and is what I've heard.
Hey, you tell him, Noel.
I'm telling him. I'm laying down the law. No, they're very, very good. But Lillet is nice, Chuck. I think you'd like a Vesper Martini. Lillet, it's almost like a bit of a botanical, kind of floral type vibe. Very, very good. And not like, you know how like a martini can just taste like literally a glass of booze. This kind of cuts it and adds a little bit of it. Yeah. Well, fair.
The danger oven is back in the house for this one. She says, got to have a whiskey sour or eight, like Rick Dalton from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Oh, interesting. All right. Our old buddy, Jeff Noel, who's back with us again. Welcome back, Jeff. Says, the Boilermaker from Don Knotts' movie, The Reluctant Astronaut. I think they call it the moonshot. Pint of beer, shot of whiskey, drop the shot into the beer. Well, that's a Boilermaker.
Yeah.
I've never had a Boilermaker, which is weird.
I haven't either. It doesn't really, that doesn't appeal to me. It seems...
It's something I feel like I should do at one point in my life, though, because I like a beer and I like a bourbon shot. So
maybe it's delicious. Yeah, it just seems a lot. Like if the beer is is there a particular type of beer? Should it be a light beer or like a dark lager?
I think it's generally like a sort of just lighter pilsner or lager.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
But you can do whatever you want. I used to like the old black and tans back. I thought that was fancy back in my college days.
What is that?
A black and tan was half Bass Ale, half Guinness, and they would not mix, so it would be the Guinness stout on top and or maybe it was the other way around, I can't remember.
I did a thing when I was first started going to bars in my hometown, and they it's certainly something you would never order in Ireland, but they call it an Irish car bomb, and it's essentially, it's a Guinness, and you drop a shot of, is it Bailey's into it, or some kind of... It was, I don't remember what the drop shot is, but it's definitely like a Boilermaker using Guinness and then some other shot thing. But it was something milky. I think it was Bailey's.
Really? I would think Bushmills, but that's just an Irish whiskey. But Bailey's and Guinness is probably really good, actually. Both creamy.
Uh-huh. It is an Irish car bomb is, also known as an Irish slammer, or an Irish bomb shot, or a Dublin drop is a cocktail similar to a Boilermaker made by dropping a bomb shot of Irish cream into a glass of stout.
How about that? Mm-hmm. Noel, one of the drunkest the drunkest I've ever been on stage in front of people was in Dublin, because I don't remember if it was a dare or I said something to the crowd about giving me a Guinness and I'll drink it all in like 3 seconds or something. I'll basically slam a Guinness and that happened, and then they just started coming up, and then shots of Bushmills started coming up, and it was one of those things where when you're on stage, you can't say no. you can say stop, like really enough. But you can't just say no. So
that's true.
I mean, you could.
Well, but would you really want to? That sounds like a good time.
I was riding high because I saw Bono on the street within my first 30 minutes in Dublin.
No shit.
I didn't
know. That's amazing. That's insane.
It is insane. It's like going to New York and seeing like Spike Lee greets you off of the plane or something.
Or fucking Frank Sinatra or something. You know, like, I mean, that's
yeah, wild. I was in a fish and chips place right after I got in there and Bono walks by the window and I was like, was that? It had to be. Like, I was convinced it was him. And then I asked on stage, I said, guys, I don't want to be that dude, but I think I saw Bono. And everyone was like, yeah, of course you did. It's like, you know, it's sort of like saying, oh my God, I saw Michael Stipe in Athens.
And now Athens, Bono's just around.
You know, yeah, it happens. And he and Edge have a hotel right near where I was, I think. And they were like, yeah, sure. I'm sure you saw Bono.
Yeah. When you say they have a hotel, you mean they own a hotel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they own like a little boutique hotel. I don't know how little it is, but I didn't stay there. All right. I think that's it, Noel. And let's move on to stream this to wind this one out, this train wreck. Still on 6 feet Under, and guys, Noel, Alan Ball wants to be on Movie Crush.
No way.
For a 6 feet Under special, no movie talk. A 20th anniversary special. We're trying to work it out now with his agent.
I want to do it.
It is not booked yet, but everybody cross those fingers and toes. I know you want to be on, don't you?
I really do. I love that show so much. Think about it, Chuck.
I mean, let's see what we can do. I think all three of us for the whole thing could get a little step on each other.
No, I know. I would just like submit a couple of questions.
But no, we'll figure something out.
So I'm almost through my rewatch. And I think I've told you how I'm tied to my life emotionally that sure. show is.
We're on season five.
I'm on six. Five is the last one. It was only five.
Oh, wait. We're on four then. Yeah, we're second to the last, I think, about two or three episodes into season four.
That makes me happy, but also like, yeah, but figure out how I can at least get a question. I love him so much. I love the show so much.
We had to get through the end of season. I mean, season three is such a slog with Lisa's whole situation. It's right. just brutal, man. It's a very, very tough season. It's and the way it ends season. Is just like, oh my God. Oh,
like total cliffhanger. And then it resolves nicely.
Sort of.
But then we can't spoil it. Anyone who hasn't seen this series, go thee out. Watch ye 6 feet Under. It's cathartic and life affirming.
So I'm still watching that. I'm watching on the side because Emily won't watch it. And I don't even know why I am. The QAnon documentary on HBO.
I heard it's good. Or I heard at least it dropped some bombs.
Yeah, I mean, it's good so far. It's fine. And then, Noel, I kind of happened upon this thing out of nowhere, and I clicked on it because I love the title, and it's amazing. It's called Exterminate All the Brutes.
Oh, someone was just talking about that to me last night and said it was based on, like, a weird writer or some, like, literature stuff. It was supposed to be, like, really, really great.
It is. It is a it's a docuseries. But it's unlike any docuseries you've seen because they have some really elaborate, interesting recrees. It is basically a look at the history of some of the awful things. I mean, starting with the slave trade and moving forward, the awful things that humans have done to each other. It's about genocide and colonization.
Right.
And it's really, really good, man. It's super heady. Like, you got to get ready for this one. You got to pay attention. Right, right. It's like class, schoolwork in a way. But it's so good. And I love what I've seen so far.
So it's about, like, imperialism, essentially.
And yeah,
like,
well, it starts there and then moves forward. And I think it is obviously going to go all the way forward through, you know, civil rights era and Jim Crow and all that stuff, I think. But
it's very interesting because it is based on a book by Stephen Lindquist called Exterminate All the Brutes that does exactly what you're saying, but it's interesting to do a documentary based on a study, you know, in a book. I mean, essentially like it's a work of nonfiction, but I think it's obviously highly stylized. And
it is. It's very well done. It's kind of like the history of white supremacy in a way, because it basically says, you know, the very beginnings of white supremacy are the Spanish Inquisition. And that was the first time in world history where a group of people, white people, exerted dominance over what they deemed a lesser group of people. And that's where it started. And it draws lines, man, between shit that happened hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago to what we're seeing now. And the tendrils are all there. And it's written and directed by Raoul Peck and narrated. Cool. It's just, I can't recommend it enough, but just you got to get ready for some serious stuff.
Time magazine calls it a radical masterpiece about white supremacy, violence, and the history of the West.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I'm excited. No, a really dear friend of mine who is very well read and super smart guy recommended this literally the other night. So I am on it.
And a great title, Exterminate All the Brutes.
Wow. Yeah, well, it's certainly arresting, right? Like yeah. you said, you clicked on it simply because you were like, what the fuck is this? That sounds fascinating.
What have you been watching?
Possibly be. I watched the King Kong Godzilla movie.
I haven't watched it yet. I can't wait, though.
I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought they did a good job of dispensing with all the petty drama of the human character mm-hmm. and getting right to the smash and bash. I really liked it. I found it very enjoyable and funny, and it looked good. It had I love Adam Wingard. You know, he did like what is it? You're Next and The Guest. He's really into these kind of retro horror sci-fi mashups, and you know, you don't really see the fingerprints of that on this too much. But it's cool when smaller directors like that get handed big movies and they do well. And I'm glad to see it doing well because I thought it was fun. Yeah, I've been, like I said, finishing my 6 Feet Under rewatch.
Yeah.
One other thing. Oh, I just started getting into that show Big Mouth, the cartoon about like kind of puberty and stuff.
It's great.
That Nick Kroll does. It's so funny.
It's got, so funny.
Yeah. It's so crass and just beautiful and accurate,
yeah.
you know? It's really, really, really well done.
Yeah, I've dabbled in that for a while and sort of left it alone, but I need to go back and watch more Big Mouth. It's great. Yeah,
it's funny.
Wonderful show. All right, Noel, well, that wraps it up for us. Apologies about all the real-time disasters in this episode, but, you know.
You know what? We're working live.
Yeah, we're warts and all here at Movie Crush. So, or... I guess specifically Mini Crush. I try to keep it together a little bit more for the other ones. Can't do this in front of Alan Ball, for Christ's sake.
No.
So thanks for listening, everyone. And we'll get our shit together and see you next week.
Mm-hmm. Movie Crush is produced and written by Charles Bryant and Noel Brown. Edited and engineered by Seth Nicholas Johnson. And scored by Noel Brown here in our home studio at Ponce City Market, Atlanta, Georgia, for iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.